Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Rubberneckin' Podcast. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Alicia.
And we join you this week on a bit of a sad note.
Yeah.
We've lost a very important person to the Elvis legacy, someone who actually really introduced us to Elvis through the camera lens for the first time in 1956.
That's true. Al Wertheimer passed away. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things, we need to celebrate his life.
We do.
Because he definitely, you know, put his mark on, pop culture. I mean, the photos he shot of Elvis, I mean, I guarantee you back then he had no clue
whatsoever.
They would become. And to be honest, they're my favorite pictures of Elvis. And most fans know the classic photos that Al shot.
They sure do. One of the most notable, of course, is called The Kiss.
Yep.
Between Elvis and a woman who was unknown until just a few years ago.
That's true.
But, you know, with over 3,800 images
of
Elvis shot by Al Wertheimer, hired by RCA in 1956, shot Elvis over a period of 3 months, and just some very memorable photos. And Al was with us not too long ago during Elvis
Week.
Yeah,
back in 2012, we had him at Conversations on Elvis behind the camera.
Elvis Behind the Camera.
And we are going to take a listen to an interview with him that was during Elvis Week, and he kind of talks about his style of shooting and the way he shot Elvis. Nothing was posed unless Elvis wanted it.
It was
all kind of like, I'm going to be a fly on the wall and take these pictures, and that's what makes them so unique.
All right, well, let's take a listen to Al from 2012 during Elvis Week.
All right, let's picture this. It's March the 10th, 1956. I was a little younger in those days. And I'm working in the dark room making some prints. And I finally got onto the RCA Victor Record Company shortlist of photographers that Ann Folchino was going to use if and when she needed publicity and promotion photographs for newspapers back of album jackets. In those days, you had big jackets, and you usually decorated the back of them with still photographs. And I was doing some record sessions for Ann, and the phone rings. Somebody in the front office calls Al. Ann Folchino's on the phone. Pick up the phone. So I say, Ann, how are you? She says, Al, are you available on the 17th of March? I said, well, for you, Ann, I'm always available. Little did she know I needed to come up with $75 every month to pay my rent. And things were a lot cheaper then. And so I said, what would you like me to do? And she said, bring your cameras, and I want you to photograph the Tommy Jimmy Dorsey show at CBS Studio 50, which is near 50th Street in Manhattan, New York City. And I said, well, fine. Tommy Dorsey is one of my heroes, big band, Benny Goodman, Tommy Dorsey, and such. And she said, no, I don't want you to photograph Tommy Dorsey. I want you to photograph Elvis Presley. Now, if you've heard this before, I'll repeat it again. And I said, Elvis Presley? And there was this 15 seconds of silence. Well, who is Elvis Presley? So she said, well, we just signed him a little while back from Sun Records, and I have nothing in my file in case we need some photographs, and I think you could do the job and help me fill up the photo file. And as I said, I'll be glad to be there. So I arrived on the 17th at the stage door of the CBS studio. It was a television studio. And the producer of the show was Jackie Gleason. I think he deserves some credit here because it's always Ed Sullivan that gets the credit for having discovered Elvis. But Gleason did that about 6 months earlier. And Elvis was booked on the stage show for two appearances. And Gleason said, let's have four more. So he convinced the Dorsey brothers to book Elvis for four more appearances, so it became a total of six. And by the end of April, when Elvis finally finished with that stint, he was almost a household word. And it was television that really propelled him to being a national figure. Now I think, I've never done this, I wanted to give credit to Ann Folchino because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here, and these photographs would never have been taken. This is the first scene after Anne takes us to the changing room, the dressing room. She introduces me, and I find two people in that room, a younger man and an older man, a middle-aged man, I would say. And she walks up to the younger man, who's got his Argyle socks almost up on the table, and she says to him, Elvis, I'd like you to meet Al Wertheimer. He's going to be taking some pictures of you, I hope. Is it all right? And Elvis is preoccupied with his left hand and looking at his fingers, and he sort of grunts and says, sure, why not? Okay. And then I become the fly on the wall, because that was my style of photography. I didn't like to pose anything. As a matter of fact, in the 2,500 photographs that I ultimately took of Elvis, there's only two pictures that have ever been posed, and they were posed because he wanted to pose them, not me. And so it turns out the other man was the ring salesman. Elvis had ordered a good luck ring, which was in the shape of a horseshoe with diamonds encrusted around it and a horse's head going from left to right. So that was the beginning of my long journey with Elvis.
Truly insightful to hear from Al Wertheimer and his style of shooting and those amazing stories of how he first got the job and, of course, his first meeting with Elvis Presley.
It's pretty amazing, and he will be truly missed, but
sure,
I mean, his legacy is carried on forever, I mean, through the photographs and the work that he did throughout all these years.
Exactly. So our condolences to Al Wertheimer's family. Of course, services later this week in New York City, and Al and Elvis's legacy will live on forever. Until next week, we'll see you on the Rubbernecking Podcast. Thanks, everybody.